Hello, podcast listeners.
Welcome to episode two.
Episode two of All Dogs Go to Film School.
Yeah. We have Dallin.
Yep.
We got Shay.
Yeah.
We got Alicia.
Whoa.
We're going to talk about movies, and that's it.
That's all we're talking about. Movies and other things.
Just movies.
What'd you watch this week, Shay? What'd you watch?
What did we watch this week? Oh my gosh, what did I watch this week? Wow. I watched a couple movies. I'm trying to remember the first one I watched. Well, we all watched Shaun of the Dead together, so we watched Shaun of the Dead.
That was fun. We said that we were going to have a party in the last episode, and guess what? We totally did.
Yeah, we did.
We
freaking did.
We had a movie party.
It was great. I gotta say, it was great.
Very good. Yes, it was a lot of fun. I also watched Moana. That was the other movie I watched. Moana is wonderful.
What?
Have you guys seen that yet?
I didn't finish it, but I watched most of it on a plane. I liked it. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it quite a bit. I'm a huge fan of the person whose name I'm forgetting.
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yes, huge fan of
him. I was assuming it was her or him because I don't remember the girl's name who plays Moana.
Oh yeah, she was wonderful too though. But yeah, I loved the songs more than I thought I was going to, and I just thought it was a wonderful story. Just really fun watch all around.
Cool.
What did you watch this week, Alicia?
All right. I did what Dallin did because I forget what I watched, but I'm pulling up my Letterboxd account.
Okay.
And so I watched the Lego Batman movie twice because it was really good.
It is.
I watched The Beguiled, Spider-Man Homecoming, this German film called Goodbye Lenin.
Oh.
And This Is England, which... Okay.
What's
Holy
Goodbye
moly.
Lenin about? Is it about everybody saying goodbye to Lenin?
Well, yeah. So it's about...
He just goes down the line and people are waving.
Yeah, that's all the
goodbye
movie.
Lenin.
For 2 hours.
Goodbye, Lenin.
People saying goodbye to Lenin.
For 2 hours straight.
So it's about a guy growing up in East Germany, and his mom is in the Socialist Party, and she's, like, super devout to it, super into the Socialist Party, like, high up in it, and she... faints because she sees him, her son, at a protest for, like, democracy and stuff in East Berlin. And she faints and then goes into a coma because she had a heart attack.
Oh, wow.
And then, so she is in a coma for 8 months and is asleep while the wall comes down. And so she misses all of that. And he's, like, the doctor's like, she cannot have another heart attack. She won't survive it this time. So you have to take it easy on her. So he brings her home and, like, just tries to pretend that nothing happened. And so he, like, makes up this entire lie and,
wow.
like, has her believing to her grave that, like, the wall didn't come down, but everyone's socialist now. Like, the West Germany
gave into socialism.
Wow. And so she goes to her grave thinking that. And it's super cool, like, all the stuff he does to convince her of it.
That sounds
and
like
he,
a
like,
very
pairs up
movie.
With this guy, and they, like, make fake news recordings of... like a news thing, like telling
her that didn't happen.
Yeah, and like wow. using real footage, and it's like super super cool. I like
that.
This reminds me of a Krzysztof Kieślowski film called Blind Chance. I don't know if you know who that is.
No.
But
not really.
He's like a Polish French director. He's got some of my favorite movies I've ever seen. And there's this movie about this guy where it like shows him at the train station. But then, like, the movie comes in three parts, and each part of the movie is him living out, like, from that moment forward in three different ways.
Wow.
Like, so if one thing were to change, what would happen? And so one...
Sort of like a sliding door sort of situation.
Yeah, so one of them is him joining the Socialist Party. The other is him joining the other party. And then, I don't want to spoil the third one, but it shows him and what his life would be like if he were to do one or the other. It's really, really cool.
Wow. That's cool.
Very political European film. That's cool.
Not unlike Sliding Doors.
Yeah.
Sliding Doors, I guess, didn't have as much socialism.
So, what did you watch, Dallin?
I'm going to skip some of the rewatches that I have, because I guess those aren't as important. I watched Stephen King's It for the first time, and let me tell you, all I'm going to say is it's 3 hours long. I didn't realize it was going to be so freaking long, because it's like
three hours?
It's a TV miniseries.
Oh, okay,
so it's
yeah.
It's like two TV movies. But
seriously.
But it's edited into one.
Okay.
And so, like, honestly, I think it is overrated. Like, a couple scenes in the first, like, 5-10 minutes were kind of creepy looking, mm-hmm. and the feel of the movie was kind of cool. But honestly, the rest of the 3 hours, the acting was some of the worst I've ever seen, and it was just overrated.
I'm really excited to see
that. Was it Tim Curry? Tim Curry did amazing as Pennywise, but mm-hmm. other than that, it was awful. I hope that the new one does a lot better.
Yeah,
I watched Hot Fuzz for the first time mm-hmm. because of Edgar Wright.
Yeah.
One of my favorite ones.
Yep.
Just because he exists.
And I watched that before I watched Baby Driver, which I also saw. So I went and saw Baby Driver. I did see Okja because we were talking about it in the last episode.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, I gotta go watch this.
What did you think of Okja?
I think I felt a little, like, I gave it a similar rating that you did, like 3.5 out of 5 stars.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't critique it as much as you did as far as the acting was concerned. And yeah. I was honestly, like, I was looking for your critique in it, and maybe I just need to watch it again and have you point it out to me.
How did you feel about Jake Gyllenhaal, though? How did Jake Gyllenhaal?
He was a little annoying.
Wasn't that strange?
He was a little annoying.
Yeah.
I didn't love it. I didn't love it. Honestly, the whole movie was very, like, yeah, 3.5 out of 5
stars. I think that would be the main question I have for anybody who watches Okja. How did Jake Gyllenhaal make you feel?
Yeah. And then I also watched Shaun of the Dead with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
So that was 3 Edgar Wright films. And then I watched Spider-Man Homecoming and have an Instagram review for that we can play later. And then the most recent film I watched, which was 2 days ago, if you guys know who Hal Ashby is, he did Harold and Maude, which is a super great dramedy, I guess.
Movie that.
And so I saw another one of his 70s comedies called Being There, because the Criterion Collection is 50% off at Barnes & Noble, and
yes.
I go ham with Criterion Collection during this month. I have a thin wallet.
Off.
I have a thin wallet, and Being There was just released on Criterion, and so I had to pick it up.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's the most awesome. Wonderful time of the year.
All right. Well, sounds like we watched a lot.
I guess. I need to step my game up on movie
watching. I love that we watch so much, because it's like... And, you know, we're doing a podcast. All right, so do we want to jump into topic one?
Yeah, we're going to talk about summer blockbusters this week. About our favorite summer blockbusters, I guess,
of the
what
year?
We like about them. I mean, all time.
In general.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in general. Talk about what the words summer blockbuster mean to us. I don't know.
I guess I should have done some research on some of my favorite films to see if they were summer blockbusters or not. I do know... In talking to you in the hall, that Jaws is like one of, it's probably my top 10 favorite movies of all time.
See, this is what I wanted to get into.
Yeah.
I love Jaws.
Let's go to Jaws.
Love Jaws so much. I didn't know that it was a blockbuster.
I had actually not seen Jaws until last year.
What'd
and
you
I
think?
Was actually really, I liked it a lot. I feel like it definitely holds up as a classic film.
It is, yeah.
And it's
like it.
One of, I mean, it was one of the defining summer blockbusters.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I just need to, like, buckle down and watch this
have you not,
dumb movie.
You haven't watched it yet?
No. You want to know why I haven't
dude.
Watched
why
it?
Why
haven't
you
watched
it?
Because you're afraid of sharks?
No, because...
I'm afraid of sharks.
Jaws?
You're afraid of the guy who played the captain?
No, I'm not afraid of anything.
Captain Shaw?
No, I'm afraid of what Jaws has done... to the life of sharks in general. Like, that movie, like, ruined so much about going to the beach, and just, like, sharks have been under attack since that movie came out.
I think people were afraid of sharks.
And it bothers me so much.
I think people were afraid of sharks
forever.
Before
yes,
Jaws came
yes,
out, though.
But I've gone to, like, 2 different exhibits where they've talked about the influence of Jaws
on sharks,
and, like, how we've... I don't know, like, just the media around sharks has, like, changed since Jaws came out, and, like, how they talk about sharks and shark attacks,
mm-hmm.
and how they're covered more in the media, and they're more, like, sensationalized, and that hasn't happened since Jaws came out, and so it just, like, bothers me, because I like sharks, and I think they're cool, and I don't want us to kill them all, and
and we shouldn't
Jaws.
Be afraid of them, for the most part.
But, so that's kind of, like, why I just didn't watch it as a kid, and then learned about its influence on people's thoughts of sharks.
Well, it's a great movie about a very unrealistic shark.
Yeah.
Very
I can tell you that.
well, and, yeah.
It's
I,
like
I should
3 times
see
the size
it.
Of the boat. It's weird.
What was that shark movie that came out last
Mega Shark year? Versus Giant Octopus?
Wrong shark movie. wrong shark movie.
Sharknado.
Nope.
Wait,
definitely
it came out recently or last year?
There was
year?
A movie that came out this year, and there was a movie that came out last year.
There's one. The one this
Sharknado
year is called
3.
47 Meters Down.
I haven't seen that
is
one.
That, okay.
Sounded terrible.
Honestly, probably won't see it, even if it's a shark movie. And what was the one that came out last year?
I've never heard of that one.
With Blake Lively, and
yeah,
she's on that thing
yeah,
by herself.
Yeah, what was that called?
In the Shallows?
The Shallows.
The Shallows?
What is
yeah,
it?
Just the Shallows.
Okay. Yeah, I saw that movie, and I was super excited because the trailer made this shark look super badass.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, the shark was badass, but it was probably the only cool thing of the movie. Like, the way... Hashtag no spoilers.
Hashtag no spoilers.
The way the shark dies is, like, pretty freaking crazy,
mm-hmm.
but, like... It's such a letdown. Like, I don't know, the shark dies and you're like, oh. So the whole movie to me was like very much a modern wannabe.
I feel like every shark movie to come out since Jaws is
yeah.
kind of a Jaws wannabe.
Yeah.
I want to see movies like the scarier movies about people going down to the depths of the ocean and then like running into those weird...
Like
weird ones
anglerfish,
yeah,
anglerfish,
with like
squid,
with like
and like
100
that
teeth.
Black slime fish that
yeah.
looks like an alien.
You know what? They need to do like a modern,
I'd be more scared of that.
A little scarier version of 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
No,
is it 20,000 or 2,000?
20,000.
20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Yes.
If they redo that. I never saw the original, but that movie, like the ocean, freaking terrifies me
yeah.
more than anything. And so
submarines really freak me out. And there was a movie that came out a couple years ago, Jude Law, that like. Flew under the radar. It was called Black Sea. And
oh, yeah.
It was super...
Yeah,
I really enjoyed
it.
And, like, it was terrifying. Just, like, them, like, suffocating and dying almost in the submarine.
There was also the summer blockbuster, I want to say 2 years ago, Hail Caesar, that features a submarine at the
end. Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does.
Oh, no, hashtag no spoilers. I don't want to ruin it.
Okay.
I'm just going to say it has a submarine.
I think you just ruined the entire one for me. Because I was not expecting a submarine to be at the end of Hail Caesar.
I don't remember why that.
Did you see? Have you seen it?
I had not seen Hail Caesar.
Okay, so I'm not going to say anymore.
I'd see a lot more yeah. than I had.
It doesn't ruin anything.
I don't remember a submarine, so it's fine. I don't know what part you're talking
so
about.
So what are some of your favorite non-shark related? I think the first one that like leaps to my mind immediately, because probably one of the most recent ones I've seen, is Pacific Rim.
Oh.
Did you guys see that?
Del Toro, correct?
I just watched that this year, and I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah,
I was
it's
like,
incredible.
Holy moly,
it's
this
an incredible,
really
like, it's...
I haven't
oh,
seen
God.
It.
It is larger than life, and it's such a... Yeah, it's more ambitious than any movie I've ever seen from Guillermo del Toro, and it's so... It's just so remarkably well done as a giant robot movie.
Yeah,
and
that's why I didn't watch it,
because
I was just like,
I don't
want to
watch a movie
about
giant robots.
Yeah, I was like, I don't care about this theme, but then I watched it, I was like, holy moly, this is so good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everything about it was so cool.
So cool.
And
the special
so
effects
pretty.
Were amazing.
The robots looked amazing. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I liked that a
Charlie
lot.
Day was in it, that was great.
Charlie
oh,
Day's
yeah.
in it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Charlie Day's great.
Well, he has tattoos, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird.
Really?
And also Ron Perlman is great in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Has a really great role in it.
The biggest summer blockbuster that comes to my mind, and it's kind of related because we have another summer blockbuster by Christopher Nolan coming out this week, Dunkirk. But one of the biggest summer blockbusters for me, I think I went to the theater like 7 times to see The Dark Knight.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And like I had only like seen Batman Begins like once, and I like wasn't – I was kind of – I think I was kind of young. That was like, what, 2005?
I think
2005.
It was earlier, like 2003 or 4 even.
It's somewhere around there. And so I was like, I was pretty young, but I remember seeing The Dark Knight in theaters so many times. I freaking love that movie. I still love it. We're going to be getting into superhero movies later, but I will just say right now in this section, I think The Dark Knight is the greatest superhero movie ever made.
I can't disagree with you on that.
It's the greatest.
Like Christopher Nolan is one of my favorite movie directors of all time. In
I think it's probably
movies.
The greatest. Like
it's
reduced.
The best Batman movie at least,
yeah.
for sure.
It's not my favorite, but it's probably the best.
I don't know. There's like you have like all like a lot of movies that are considered classics now, like Back to the Future. That was a summer blockbuster, and I love that whole trilogy.
Yeah, we need to talk, we need to figure out more like Spielberg films.
I think
you just talk about more Spielberg.
Star Wars lately has releases their films at Christmas now, but I think the original episodes were summer blockbusters.
Mm-hmm.
The original trilogy were summer blockbusters, I believe. At least this list is saying
that it is. In the summer.
But another big franchise that had good summer blockbusters was Harry Potter.
That is true. I went and saw you know, both Deathly Hallows, like... Well, actually, I think one of them was released during Christmas, but I saw one of the Deathly Hallows during summer.
I think, yeah, I think they released them in the same year, so they released one in the summer, and then
and one in the fall. Christmas.
Okay, so I'm just going to say straight up, I'm looking at a list right now of, like, the 75 biggest summer blockbusters ever, and number one is E.T.
Number one is E.T.
Which I've never seen.
That?
Oh, really?
I like Spielberg, but I've never seen E.T.
That's an interesting choice for number one, I think.
But number two... Was...
Don't say anything, because that's my movie. That's what I'm going to talk about.
Oh, you're going to talk about that? Yeah. Okay, before I say what number two before is, okay. Don't say that.
The one okay, there's a, okay, I'm looking at this list, and there's a lot of kids' movies
on this
list.
A lot of Pixar.
That doesn't seem right. Yeah. I feel like kids' movies don't really belong in the category.
Toy Story and Inside Out are in number four and number three.
Yeah,
I mean, think this list is just like, it came out in the summer.
And it was successful.
And that doesn't, to me... That like, that's not the definition of a blockbuster.
I think we should talk about like what we consider a blockbuster to be.
My last favorite summer blockbuster that I will say because Alien Covenant just came out,
which, contrary
to popular opinion, I really enjoyed it.
I liked it too.
I thought they did a fantastic job connecting the franchises, and they still have more to film or to put out to connect the franchises, but. Alien is one of my favorite science fiction films of all time, and that was a summer blockbuster.
It's one of my favorite horror movies of all time.
And I loved it, and it's such a different type of horror movie.
And it's such a different type of... I don't know if I would even consider it, like, a blockbuster either, because, like, it's...
Yeah.
It's not definitely not what you would call a popcorn movie. It's very... It's tense. It's gritty at times. Yeah, no, it has, like, a very dark, very... suffocating atmosphere.
And I know that like we can have another episode about like science fiction films or like monster movies. We will. Or alien films, but like small thing I want to say about Alien is I wish I would have been in the theaters when it first came out, because that movie, like, no one had ever really seen like a science fiction film like that, and like it revolutionized the way the aliens were perceived. Like, they released a whole new type of alien, and now when people hear alien, I mean, sometimes you'll think about the, like, little green men, but, like, a lot of times people go directly to, like, the xenomorphs and stuff. So, and they successfully titled the franchise after the word alien, which one of my friends was like, that's the dumbest name for a movie. I'm like, are you kidding me? That's the greatest name for, like, a science fiction
movie. No one ever can name their movie Alien ever again.
Also, one of the best taglines of all time.
Oh, yeah.
For Alien.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite summer blockbuster... is Mad Max Fury Road. I just can't get over that movie.
That is
George Miller did such a good job.
That's one of the most bonkers movies I've ever seen. It's incredible.
Crazy.
Another incredible.
And I just like the passion put behind it, and like the stunts and the practical effects, and like the amount of time and effort everyone put into it, and like them just destroying so many cars and just spending all that time in the Australian desert.
And Tom Brady being chained to the front of a speeding car.
I've never met a person that's seen Mad Max that hasn't enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I haven't met one person yet.
Why would you not like it? Like, it's...
It deserved all the wins that it had at the Oscars.
Yeah, I mean,
like
I did...
seven wins or something like that?
Fury Road? Or are you talking about the original Mad Max?
Did Fury Road win Oscars?
It won for all the technical stuff.
Okay. Yeah. And then George Miller won Best Director,
I don't think so.
No?
What's he nominated,
no,
I don't think though?
So. But his wife got best... she got Best Editing, though.
Nice.
So but they got, like, best, like effects and all that stuff. And
that
score, maybe?
So great.
I can't remember. They got a couple for that. But it was all the technical stuff.
Wild, such a wild movie.
It's so crazy. And I think it's like, and we wanted to talk about what we feel is a summer blockbuster. And that movie to me feels like a summer blockbuster.
Oh, it is.
I would say,
like, you get out of the heat and you go enter some other heat inside a cool room and you take all your friends and you just like eat two things of popcorn because you're just like, oh my god, this movie's so good.
Also, quick side note, Inuyasha was best director that year for the Revenant.
Oh, okay. And he got best picture. They gave him both.
Yeah.
Wow.
And DiCaprio got best actor.
Wow, they gave
him
both.
It was a good year.
Finally. Usually they split them up. But.
Low key, I was rooting for Inuyasha the whole time.
I love the Revenant. But
I never saw the Revenant.
No, that's so good.
I was thinking, I would say for me, the movie that sort of jumps out as like a perfect blockbuster is Ocean's 11.
I've only seen Ocean's 12.
The trilogy sort of dips off after Ocean's 12, but I don't know if they made an Ocean's 14 even, but
I think they're plans to. I think
Ocean's the first planned. The first Steven Soderbergh Ocean's 11 because it was a remake, but it I saw it I think when I was like 10 years old. And
in theaters?
No, I saw it at home on DVD. But like it was just so it was the first movie I seen that seemed like so fully engrossing to me. Also the first movie I seen that has starred so many such famous actors. So it was like George Clooney, Brad Pitt, Julia Roberts.
Everybody's in there.
Fucking yeah.
And like, now you see that in Christopher Nolan.
Like there are like 11 top billed people.
Stacked.
Yeah,
with big mm-hmm. names now.
Well, and like Wes Anderson.
Like
too.
Inception. Yeah, same, Inception. Yeah. I think is yeah, Inception, a blockbuster that I could go on for like I guess 3 minutes about. But Ocean's 11 just has like such a simple plot, yet is so tightly like paced.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so I don't know, it's just like one of the most exciting movies I think
I gotta give that whole trilogy a chance. I saw the second one and it was fun.
I wouldn't say give the whole trilogy a chance, but definitely go back and watch the first one. Yeah,
pretty good.
It's super good, super super good.
And he has a new movie coming out this year.
Logan Lucky.
That looks
crazy.
That looks really good.
I really Daniel just Craig. Like love seeing Adam Driver in a I love lot of things. Missing I think an arm, he's so too. Good. Oh yeah,
he's missing an arm
in that movie.
In the new one, yeah, he's missing an arm.
So. Wow. I mean, they really went all out with making those actors look not like actors.
Yeah, Channing Tatum looks like somebody I would avoid on the street.
Channing Tatum looks like somebody I would see driving a pickup truck down Federal Way.
Yeah.
With, like, smog just billowing out of the back. Yeah.
And if you, like, passed him on the street, you'd give him that awkward, like, white person half-smile nod, like the... You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Like, how's it going? You don't actually see
it. It's like one of the people that I sell like, 24 packs of PBR just like, to every day.
Don't talk to me, please.
I guess we don't have to, like, straight up segue, because I guess we have a mini segment coming up next.
Can we talk about Inception for a second, though?
Cause Inception yeah, sure, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess we should have, like, a Christopher Nolan episode.
I guess.
Christopher Nolan is seriously one of my favorite directors.
I guess Inception came out before The Dark Knight, did it not?
No, after.
Did it come out right after?
It came out a couple years after, I think, yeah.
I don't remember. Yeah, I don't remember what order that came in. Yeah, but the only film I had seen by him. Yeah, talk about him a little bit. Yeah, I guess. Hey, but side note for all your listeners, I guess we still kind of like are structuring our episodes as we do this.
Yeah,
we're just making episode two.
You know how Miley Cyrus put it: "No one's perfect."
Yeah, in the last episode, we didn't have Edgar Wright as like a topic point necessarily, but we did talk about him. And Baby Driver. No, we talked about Okja a pretty decent amount, which was kind of unrelated to the topic at hand. And so we can talk about Christopher Nolan a little bit.
Yeah.
Even though he'll probably come up again later as a main topic.
Dedicated segment to
Nolan. For sure.
Yeah.
But, I mean, as far as summer blockbusters go, he definitely didn't start out making blockbusters, later on in his career, he definitely started nailing it.
Well, that's crazy. He's had one movie that's kind of segued him from indie films to blockbusters.
No, I want to say it was just one movie.
Because he did Memento, which wasn't a blockbuster. He did Insomnia, which is kind of middle ground. It wasn't huge, but it wasn't super small. His next movie after that
was Batman Begins,
which was a blockbuster.
That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
That is pretty.
That's really
and I mean, since I guess then, he has a track Batman record of making fantastic blockbusters.
Yeah.
Prestige, like, Dark Knight Rises, The Dark Knight.
Inception. Inception is one of my favorite.
Interstellar, and now Dunkirk, which supposedly is going to be fantastic.
I mean, it has 97 right now on Rotten Tomatoes, which is
I'm not surprised. Yeah. I'm not surprised.
I mean, yeah. I mean, when Inception came out, I think literally every person on the planet was talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was one of those movies that just tripped everybody out.
And the thing I like about Christopher Nolan is that, like, you know, with certain types of films and certain directors, they have, like, this style or this niche to them, like Martin Scorsese, where, like, a whole mass of people who enjoy films, like, some people are very offended by, like, you know, just regular things like nudity or language or drugs or violence and stuff. People are, like, really offended by that stuff. And Christopher Nolan has made some fantastic films that don't necessarily have all that. And I'm not saying that's good or bad. It doesn't really matter that is or isn't there. Yeah, but his like films appeal to
everybody. Oh, those films are pretty violent,
like,
though.
You can't show your Quentin Tarantino movie to your 12-year-old yet. Yeah, but you could show him Batman Begins.
Yeah,
you know?
Oh yeah,
like,
heck yeah.
And I like that.
And they're good.
And Interstellar 2.
Good movies, too. Like,
oh yeah. I never saw Interstellar. Actually. I need to watch Interstellar.
They have a lot of weight to them.
See, and that's what, like, with Inception and Interstellar, they're like his movies make me think about them for a long time after. Yeah. And I was like shooken up after I watched Interstellar.
I can't stop thinking
about Inception and like that last scene. And I just like am always on the fence of like, is he dreaming or not? And I still think about that a lot. And like,
and just the way that the movie plays with like layers.
It's so good.
Like subconscious.
You got to keep up. So, and you got to pay attention.
Mm-hmm. It's like a mentally.
Like, I still think about it. Anytime anyone says Inception or talks about that movie, I think of that last scene and that spinning top, and I'm like, is he still there?
Some of the best movies that I watch that are mind benders are ones that, like, after I'm done, I have to go look them up.
Yeah.
Some of my favorite movies that I've ever seen that, like, mess with my head are the ones that I have to stop and go, okay, and then, like, go and do some research.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I did that with Donnie Darko. When I first saw that movie screwed with my head. And I haven't seen that movie in a long time. That's totally unrelated. But so do you guys think that Christopher Nolan's new film, Dunkirk, is going to have some kind of spin on it? It's a war movie, which is a little different.
I don't think it's going to have much of a twist on it because he's doing it. It's like based on a real event.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's going to play too much with that. But I think he's going to be exploring a different side to the war than is normally shown. It's not just going to be like the dudes on the beach. Like, it's going to be about the civilians who are trying to help the British soldiers get off the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of like
that. What's cool is that, like, some of the biggest directors have all made, like, their war film. Some of the biggest directors you can think of have their version of a war film.
Oh, yeah. Spielberg has several.
Spielberg has several. Terrence Malick has a war film. I guess Christopher Nolan now has a war film.
Martin Scorsese make a war film? Yeah. Or no?
I don't know if he has. That's the one I was trying to think of. Kubrick has done one. He did Full Metal Jacket.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, some of the biggest, most impactful directors have all made some form of war
film. Wes Anderson just needs to delve into that.
That would be a very weird, World War II movie. I can't imagine any other war.
I feel like he would just, like, focus on, like, a small war that happened in, like, Iceland or something.
I mean, the closest thing that he's come to a war movie is in Grand Budapest Hotel.
Yeah, he, like, talks about
war. You have those, like, Nazi-esque, like, figures that come onto the train.
And he talks about, like the bellboy getting kicked out of his home and stuff and being a refugee.
So I guess, like, he circled around a little bit, but
he had Edward Norton play a Nazi, so
that's right.
He's gotten close.
Yep. So before we transition out of this, Steven Spielberg versus Christopher Nolan versus Ansel Elgort from Baby Driver, who wins?
Two directors.
Who's that last character from Baby Driver?
Are you talking about like the main actor from Baby Driver?
Let's just discard that third option.
Yeah, okay.
So I just threw him in as a prize fighter.
So Christopher Nolan versus Spielberg?
Okay, I gotta think of it because obviously Spielberg wins that one, but I gotta think.
Well, I don't know. I'm thinking about it in terms of
how about this?
Who's
how about
the
Spielberg
here?
Versus Tarantino? That's what I would.
Spielberg versus Tarantino. I would.
I mean, we didn't even talk about Tarantino's blockbusters. Jesus.
Yeah.
I wouldn't pick.
And his war.
I have a different relationship with both of those directors. Spielberg's been around, and it's like if you think of two people who are going up, you know, to box against each other. If you were to have something like this new young face who's maybe been around for a couple years versus this veteran fighter, like
Tarantino's been around for a while though.
I mean,
'90s.
He's
a older man. Yeah.
Like 90, I think his first,
like mid,
Reservoir like, Dogs was what, 92?
Yeah, early 90s, but Spielberg's been around since the 70s.
That's true.
So, like, Spielberg's seasoned, and he's kind of like, even though he's kind of like, chiseled his craft out.
I mean, I tried to think of somebody who could stand up next to Spielberg in terms of summer blockbusters, but I just don't think there's anybody.
You know
what? I'm gonna choose Quentin Tarantino on this one.
Yeah.
Over Spielberg?
Just personal taste. Like, just personal taste of films. I would rather watch a Quentin Tarantino film than a Spielberg film.
I agree with that.
Like, because when I think about Spielberg, I'm like, okay, Saving Private Ryan, E.T., What other movies did he do? Like, I can't think of them as quickly as I can Quentin Tarantino, and I don't know if I've just watched more Quentin,
like, I feel like
Quentin Tarantino also only has, like, 8 films. Like, I mean, like, films that he says that he's made. I would side with Spielberg because I just have a longer-running relationship with him. Mm-hmm. I love every Quentin Tarantino film I've seen. I do. But, like, whenever I, like, make lists in my head or people ask me for my top favorite movies or my top favorite directors, I can honestly say Quentin Tarantino or any of his films never show up on any of those lists. And it's not because I don't it's not because I forget about him. And, like, some of his films are really, really freaking good. I would give some of them 4.5, 5 stars on some of those films. They're really, really good. But I've never put him or his films in my top top lists.
Yeah, ever. I can put him in my top 20. Well, Kill Bill probably, but Spielberg. Now that I'm looking at his filmography, I'm like reminded of all the things he said.
Yeah,
if we kinged someone, Blockbuster King, he would be Blockbuster King.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, Indiana Jones, Jurassic Park.
I forgot.
We forgot about Jurassic Park.
Artificial intelligence.
The Color Purple. I mean, come on.
Yeah, this kind of, some are
okay, blockbusters. Okay, you lost me at Artificial Intelligence. But how about some instant reviews?
Yeah, sure. Time for an instant review. Who wants to go first? I guess we all got one.
I'll let Alicia go first since I went only last.
Oh, okay. Do you guys want to hear The Beguiled, Lego Batman, or Despicable Me 3?
Let's talk about I want to talk about Lego Batman a lot.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet, so I'd love
to. You haven't? Oh, I got it.
All right, well, I watched it twice, so here is my first take review on Lego Batman. I think I was standing outside my house, so you might hear some traffic, but here it goes. Oh, wait. Hold on. My sound is off. It is on. Turning the volume up.
So, I just finished the Lego Batman movie, and I feel overwhelmed, but in a good way. It was very gay, like super gay, like on purpose. And Michael Cera as Robin is his best role yet. Like, seriously, he was so cute and charming. That movie was just, like, so fun, and it took, like, a wild ride that I wasn't expecting, and, like, weird turns, and was super heartfelt, and, like, featured Batman therapy, and I don't even know. The voice acting was great, and it looked really pretty, and the music was pretty cool, but yeah, like, real, real gay, like, the gayest kids movie I've ever seen, and I'm, like, very surprised that the Lego and Warner Brothers franchises got away with that. But overall, like, 4 out of 5, I enjoyed myself, and I'm still smiling after.
Oh, that's cute. That's a cute review.
I didn't notice how gay it was, but looking back, I think you're pretty right.
Okay.
Now I really want to go see this.
Because Batman and Joker were definitely framed as, like, bitter ex-boyfriends.
Exactly. Well, and, like, really? The Joker, the whole time, the Joker wants him to admit that he is Batman's greatest villain. And, like, the guy he wants to catch the most. And Batman, like, refuses to accept it.
Greatest villain, like, slash life partner.
Yeah, exactly. That's so funny. And there's this scene where they're, like, bridging together, and they're so close to each other, and they have to work together to, like, save the city. And then they stuff happens. And then, like, Joker says, I hate you. And Batman says, I hate you too. And I was just like, oh my god. And it was just like so gay.
Also, I'm glad you picked Lego Batman, because we will be talking about superheroes.
Yeah.
So that was perfect.
Yes. I love the Lego movies. They're
I love the Lego movies so
cute.
Much.
The humor in them is so perfect.
Funny. I mean,
and I don't feel like I'm watching strictly a kid's movie, which I feel like when I go and see Pixar movies recently, I'm just like, this is a kid's movie that's done really well.
Yeah, that's the thing I love about the Lego movies, is that the jokes are consistently funny.
Yeah.
It's really well, like, and it's tied together.
And it's not like that.
And they don't, like, it doesn't pander to either adults or kids. It doesn't try to be risque. It doesn't try to be crass. It's just funny.
Because usually when you go
that's something you don't really see in kids' movies.
Like,
anymore.
When you go to a kid's movie, they'll throw in adult humor, but the adult humor is always about sex. Or, right, like, something that, like, a kids sex won't joke, get.
And then they'll, and like that's not 30 seconds funny. Later, they'll throw in a line about poop.
Yeah.
Like, that's what kids' movies are, and Lego movies are not that.
You know, slightly related on similar type of comedy, I felt that exact same way about You're Gonna Laugh or Judge Me, but Paul Blart Mall Cop. Like, when I first saw that movie, I was like, this movie I can tell is supposed to be awful. This is supposed to be an awful movie, but, like, I was thoroughly laughing out loud the entire time.
I can't believe we got all the way to episode 2 without mentioning Paul Blart Mall Cop.
Paul Blart Mall Cop episode 2.
We should definitely dedicate a segment soon to, like, bad movies that we really enjoy.
We will. Okay. Okay. The Guilty Pleasures.
Guilty Pleasures.
I guess since I'm talking already, maybe to redeem myself, I'll play you my instant review. Also superhero related, I went and saw Spider-Man Homecoming. I will probably go into more detail about my thoughts on that movie when we get to this section. I don't remember exactly what I say in this review, so if it's really dumb, I'm really, really sorry in advance. I had to record it 2 times. The first time I was just like 2 minutes in, I was like, this is awful. I'm going to re-record it. So this one's only a minute and 12 seconds long.
All right, so I'm sitting in my car. I just got out of Spider-Man Homecoming. I want to make this one quick. Immediate impressions. It was pretty good. I enjoyed it. I had a good time. I liked the nods to some of the classic stuff in the comic books. I don't want to spoil it for anybody that hasn't seen it yet. But it was cool. And I'll give probably like 4 out of 5 stars. It wasn't amazing. I still love the Tobey Maguire trilogy a little bit more overall, just because I grew up with those and I'm more familiar with them, I guess. And I hold those in my heart more because those are some of the first big Marvel movies to come out that kind of changed the way superhero movies are made. But I liked it. I thought Peter Parker's character was great. I thought the villains were great. Again, I thought the comic book nods were great. They didn't throw everything, like all the classic stuff about Spider-Man, into one movie. They only briefly talk about, you know, the origin of Spider-Man in the film. And overall, it was pretty good. Wasn't as good as people told me it was going to be, but it was pretty good. I liked it. Yeah, like I said, 4 out of 5 stars. And I would go see a sequel for this. I'm excited to see what happens next. So, yeah.
Okay, cool. I haven't seen that yet.
There's some stuff that I left out of this review that I'll talk about later. That
is
like, I mean, you can talk about it now. I mean, you gotta talk about it during superhero movies.
I think it would be more appropriate during superhero movies because then I get your guys' opinion on like the Avengers and stuff. So, well, we can talk about
that. I haven't seen it yet, but are they like trying to tie in Spider-Man to the larger?
We'll talk about it. Yeah, we'll talk about it.
So we're going to talk about that when we talk about Marvel movies, I guess. But are you waiting for my instant review?
Yep.
On bated breath. So this week, I reviewed a movie that I talked about last week, which was Mother from Bong Joon-ho. I believe it's his second film after The Host.
Yeah.
If The Host was his first film, then it would be its second. And here goes that.
So I just finished watching the film Mother by Bong Joon-ho. And I have to say I was pretty impressed. I would call it a sort of suspense / murder mystery / mother-son drama about a mother who is trying to get her wrongfully convicted son deconvicted of a murder. And the first thing I would say about this is that the direction and the acting is astounding. I was really blown away, especially by the lead actress, whose name, if I'm reading it correctly on the box, is... They don't even put the actress on here. Oh, no. I think it's Kim Hae-ja? Kim Hae-ja was really great in this movie. And there are some elements of the story that were kind of, how would I put it, problematic, especially dealing with the mentally disabled characters in the movie. However, what I will say that it was, the script was brilliant. The acting, again, fantastic. Direction, great. The ending was # no spoilers, but it was a kind of depressing, very dark ending. But still, I think it is one of the most remarkable movies I've seen in a while, and I would give it a solid 4 out of 5. That's called Mother by Bong Joon-ho. I had to rent a DVD from the library because I don't think it's on Netflix anymore. So find that where you can.
We all gave our movies 4 out of 5. Yeah.
Wow. So we must have had some. We saw some good movies.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Couple notes on that review, though. I want to say real quick. It was Kim Hye-ja. I pronounced that wrong. Apologies to Kim Hye-ja. She was great in that movie. Also, I want to say a little more about Bong Joon-ho. I think that just the way he's so inventive, the way that he ties in so many different like moods into one cohesive film. I feel like he did the same thing with Okja. But in this one, definitely he opens it with a sequence of her just dancing in the middle of a field. And it's like so bizarre and kind of funny, and it almost seems nonsensical, but at the same time it's so hypnotizing. And I never saw that coming. It's like the opening scene of this movie, especially this being the sort of very, very dark, gritty murder mystery. Also, I was kind of irked by I'm as irked as I always am by non-disabled people playing mentally disabled characters in this movie. Although I will give it credit, it did try to make a pretty powerful statement about how, you know, mentally disabled people are taken advantage of by the people around them, and how the police sort of closed the case on him without really considering whether or not he did it. They just say that people saw him there, and he doesn't really have a defense. Like, they don't really give him a fair defense. And so I thought, yeah, it irked me, but I still sort of, I guess I was able to accept that as an element of the plot. But yeah, as I said, though, the ending was very disturbing. It's a very dark ending, but all the same, great movie. So
cool.
That sounds good. I want to watch that. I like his movies a lot. Mm-hmm. All right. Topic two. Superhero movies. The thing we'll probably be talking about for the rest of our lives, because they're just going to keep making more and more and Marvel more movies every single summer. Yeah.
DC's trying to catch up.
DC, yeah. I don't think they're going to do as good of a job.
I mean, they, like, Wonder Woman wasn't awful.
Oh, man. I heard it was pretty good.
I heard it was pretty good. I enjoyed it. I've heard mixed things about Wonder Woman.
Okay.
But I've only heard good things about Wonder Woman.
It was fine. Like, I didn't
like,
hate...
I've heard people say that it's the best DC movie to come out so far, but I don't That's put a lot of stock in that statement.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Does that mean that Christopher Nolan's trilogy is not considered DC? Because it wasn't, I don't think, I don't know if DC was affiliated, because I know it's Batman, obviously.
Right, I mean, it was licensed as DC, but it's not affiliated with, like, the current DC film canon of Superman Returns, Batman v Superman.
I just want to say right now, I hate Ben Affleck's Batman so much. I hate it so much.
I've never seen it, and I agree with you.
He's terrible as Batman.
He's pretty bad. I watched this YouTube video where this YouTuber was like comparing Ben Affleck's Batman to Christian Bale's, not as far as acting is concerned, because acting is something that we connect with. But he like goes through and looks at like the strength or the training that they have, the way that they fight, how they fight, the gear that they have, where their Batcave's located, and all this stuff, and like put those things up side by side to see which Batman is actually better.
Mm-hmm.
But like it's hard to do that because
Ben Affleck is so
well. I mean, like the Batman that DC's bringing back, or that they're rebooting in like the Batman versus Superman film, and the new Batman that's going to come out featuring the one and only Ben Affleck versus the Christian Bale Batman is Christopher Nolan was very, very upfront in talking about how he was going to try to make the Dark Knight movies as close to realistic as he could, and so you have this big separation between Christopher Nolan's and.
Right.
When you're in a universe where you have Superman and you have this mecha suit that freaking Batman can use, you can't really compare those two Batmans because they're in different types of worlds and they're going to uphold differently. Clearly, Ben Affleck's Batman is going to kick Christian Bale's ass because he's just a different type of figure. I mean, definitely, too.
I think Christopher Nolan was trying to hold closer to the Frank Miller Batman comics than the typical canonical DC comics Batman.
Yeah.
But yeah, I will say I can't imagine how bad Ben Affleck is as Batman. I haven't bothered watching any of the
Batfleck
movies.
Is
he just like sucks.
I feel like
it's like watching a dry piece of toast. Wow. Like it's just the acting is.
I've heard the
bad.
Same about the guy who is playing Batman. Superman now.
Yeah, but he's Henry Cavill.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, he's also a dry piece of toast. It was just Batman vs. Superman was watching two pieces of toast fight each other. Throw each other through walls. Like, that's all it was.
And burn stuff with their eyes.
And then, so I'm so used to the Christian Bale, Christopher Nolan, Batman.
Also didn't.
It was so weird seeing Ben Affleck kill people.
Okay, I have a burning question.
What is happening? You just killed so many people.
So I remember, wait, with bullets?
Yeah.
That's not a Batman thing.
I know,
Batman
exactly.
Batman doesn't use guns.
Exactly.
But, burning question, did Ben Affleck try to use the I am the night voice that Christian Bale did? Oh my god.
I mean, kind of.
Oh my god.
He talked really deep. It was weird.
But he didn't do this like night and day thing
that
Christian Bale did.
I think I've never seen that.
Yeah.
Christian Bale's thing is night and day. And like when I first heard him talk, like Christian Bale talk as Batman like that, I was kind of chuckling at it. I was like, what is he doing? But at the same time, like, you gotta think there's a huge separation between that type of Batman and like Michael Keaton Batman, who's just the same voice. Like, mm-hmm. I'm Batman. I'm Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
Like,
true.
But I guess to kind of go back into related to Spider-Man that came out recently,
mm-hmm.
I will say Batman is my favorite superhero of all time. I love Batman. I think he's awesome.
I think what they should do with the Batman franchise is because Christopher Nolan pretty much exhausted the extent of grimdark Batman.
Yeah.
So I really feel like they should try and take it back to the campier Adam West
Batman.
Cast Will Arnett as live action Batman.
That'd be so much
and
fun.
And just go, all
just
the way
having,
with
like,
the campiness.
Dance and stuff. Yeah,
yeah, I'm dancing again.
So DC's trying to play catch up with Justice League that's coming out. I mean, they're going to have this whole Justice League universe thing, DC universe, whatever, that's playing catch up to Marvel.
And they made one movie that people have enjoyed so far.
Wonder Woman.
Of, like, four? Have they made four to this point? Including Wonder Woman?
No, they've only made two.
No.
In the universe.
No, there's a... Well,
there's a super,
Suicide
what was the
Squad.
Superman one?
Oh, Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad, I guess.
But they're not going to be a part of the Justice League.
Oh, my God. Oh, God.
So they have Wonder Woman. I guess Aquaman comes out soon. But I guess...
Jason Momoa as Aquaman?
Yeah, that guy.
Oh, so excited.
Okay,
I'm going to go see it just to see his hair flip in the water.
In terms of Jokers, Heath Ledger versus Zach Galifianakis, which one would kick Jared Leto's ass harder?
Wait. Did Zach Galifianakis do
the voice
of
Batman.
Like a Batman
Joker?
Batman,
yeah,
hey, that's funny.
He was
it's great.
It was really cute.
It's really good. I'm going to come out and say it, Heath Ledger.
Yeah, Heath Ledger for sure.
R.I.P.
Heath Ledger would just feed and fists into Jared Leto's face.
Yeah.
And
actually
stop.
Beat him up in person.
I'm
not even sure if it would be his Joker. I think it would just be Heath Ledger.
Yeah, exactly.
Jared Leto.
You can point at me and like give me crap for it if you want. I still like Jack Nicholson the most because I think Jack Nicholson is one of the greatest actors to have ever lived. He's one of the greatest. Alongside freaking Marlon Brando.
My only argument is that Heath Ledger took that character to the next level.
Oh yeah, he did.
Like,
I'm not saying he doesn't deserve the accolades that he does.
Yeah.
Anyways,
but Jack Nicholson is really great.
So while DC's playing catch up to this huge thing that
Marvel's
got going on, I gotta say this. I gotta come out and say this.
Mm-hmm.
I was a fan of Marvel movies starting at the Tobey Maguire Spider-Mans, even through the really bad like Hulk movie that they made, the first Hulk movie.
Hulk is the best, though.
No, not Edward Norton.
I grew up on that. Wait, is that DC?
Eric Bana's.
Yeah, Eric Bana's Hulk. I liked that. It freaked me out as a kid.
I liked it, too.
It freaked me out as a kid.
I liked it when I saw it as a kid. I'm not sure how well
it's not. It hasn't held up super well. But, like,
really
all the movies, literally, I loved the Marvel movies up until, like, I guess Iron Man was the first film that they did in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Like the new,
right?
Marvel Cinematic.
So, and I guess no one really knew that that was going to be
Did Iron Man come first or did Captain America come first?
Iron Man.
Iron Man definitely came first. Iron Man's like 2008 or something like that.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing Iron Man and I was like, this is cool. And then by the time Iron Man 2 rolled around, I was like, oh, now I see where they're going. And then I kind of got sick of the movies. I haven't kept up with them. I will say after I watched Spider-Man Homecoming, it made me want to go watch mm-hmm. Captain America Civil War, which I haven't seen. But I haven't
really...
It's not worth it. I actually
haven't finished it. I got halfway through it on Netflix, and I was like, oh, this is boring. Yeah, I feel like I've seen this movie three times.
I haven't really kept up with the Avengers movies, and I already know, because Disney owns both now, that they're going to try to do something similar with Star Wars. Probably not to the same level, and I will have a different relationship with Star Wars always.
Yeah.
But I will say this. The thing that I didn't want to say in my review that I will say now, I would have enjoyed Spider-Man Homecoming better if this new Spider-Man wasn't intertwined with the Avengers universe.
Yeah.
There was so much in Spider-Man Homecoming. I mean, Tony Stark's in it, and a big part of the plot and a big part of Peter Parker's character in this movie is it shows at the beginning of the film his experience or his cameo, or it talks about briefly his cameo in Captain America Civil War, which I haven't seen. But in this whole film, Peter Parker's trying to prove himself to Tony Stark because he wants to become an Avenger. And he's always telling all his friends that he's in this Stark internship and all this Stark this, Stark that. A big plot point, revolves around Stark Tower.
Stark Industries.
And so, not being a fan of the Avengers universe, that is what made me not give it that either extra half star or extra full star.
Okay.
And if they would have left that out and just let Spider-Man be his own thing and, like, not be related to that, I think I would have enjoyed it more.
Well, I feel like they wouldn't have made
the Spider-Man movie.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like they had to, because, like, every Spider-Man up to this point hasn't been involved in the Avengers, and they're just like, well, we can't just make another Spider-Man movie where we can put him in the Avengers.
It was weird.
I agree. Yeah, I just understand why they did it.
Yeah. I mean, did you ever see the Amazing Spider-Man movies?
Yeah.
It was weird that they didn't tie those into the Marvel Cinematic Music
universe. I didn't like those very much.
Also weird that they rebooted Spider-Man twice in the same decade.
Yeah.
I feel like that is sort of superfluous. Yeah, I feel like the Andrew Garfield
ones. I love Andrew really Garfield, but I don't care about this.
I got excited when it first came out. I was like, ooh, this is going to be cool. And then, like, for any of them that's seen it, I don't even care if I spoil it for you. This is the one movie I don't care if I spoil it for you.
Okay, hashtag no spoilers. Go ahead.
The Lizard, which is, like, an iconic villain of Spider-Man's, which I'm glad that they brought into the franchise. He was done terribly in this movie. Like, honestly, the Lizard that I'm familiar with from the comics and the video games that I've played, he's big, but he, like, looks like a man, like, Lizard wearing, like, a lab coat. Like, he's a lizard wearing a lab coat. This lizard in The Amazing Spider-Man looked terrible. Like, he was such, like, every single time I was watching this movie, anytime the lizard would show up on screen, I'm like, oh, this movie just got even worse.
Did they give him washboard abs?
No.
That's a joke.
Yeah.
Why would you make a movie? Anyways, why would you make a new movie?
My heart is with the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movies. Yeah. I love those movies so much.
Honestly, so good. Oh man.
I mean, they're not campy.
I have mixed feelings about them because also, I love the first one. I love the first Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movie. Like the second one a little less. Hated the third one.
Most people hate the third one. But I will say, Spider-Man 2, even if you, Shay, like the first one more than Spider-Man 2, I think Spider-Man 2 was one of the best and most important superhero movies of the last 20 years.
It was definitely much broader in scope than the first one was, I feel like. I feel like it was definitely trying to be like the biggest, boldest movie that Sam Raimi could possibly make.
Well, I mean, like, I'm trying to think. What were some other big superhero movies that came out other than, like,
Other than all the Avengers movies, before Spider-Man 2.
My favorite superhero movie, kind of, I guess, is superhero Guardians of the Galaxy. I mean,
oh yeah,
I did see that. That was a really good one.
Have you seen Volley 2? Fantastic. Yeah,
I never saw.
I went and saw it in Japan.
I really
not
like the
trying
first
to
one.
Brag here, but I did.
Were there Japanese subtitles?
Yes,
of course.
Yeah. But I love the Guardians of the Galaxy thing they have going on. I think it's so good. It's so witty. The music's great. It's funny.
I love the cast in that movie.
Yeah.
I guess related to...
That's my favorite.
I guess Fred of Star-Lord, Bradley Cooper's Rocket Raccoon is also great in that movie.
Yeah.
Everybody else... Who is it as the Green Lady? Zoe Saldana.
Yeah.
Related... Sorry, I'm not going to be talking about Guardians of the Galaxy. I have seen the first one, and it was pretty good. It was all right. It was fine.
I liked it a lot.
I love it.
I will say, along Marvel, because, I mean, I've been thinking here the whole time, most of the Marvel movies are attached to the Avengers films, and I think Guardians of the Galaxy will connect somehow, I think.
I hope not.
Maybe. We hope not.
They need to be their own thing. They're too good.
We hope
leave
not.
Them alone.
But
leave
under,
them alone.
Under license, from Marvel, my second favorite superhero franchise. I mean, some of the movies are really bad. Some of them are pretty amazing. Are the X-Men movies, which
yeah.
I don't know. You guys want to think about those?
I'm a big fan of the X-Men.
Love
those,
the X-Men movies.
Yeah.
They're really, really well made. They're Marvel
about
films.
Them all the time.
I know,
but
they're
also DC
mind,
though.
But
too,
also
right?
Really, no,
right?
They're Marvel. X-Men
they're,
is Marvel.
They're Marvel. Oh yeah.
So Deadpool's Marvel too.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
And related to that, they have a Venom movie coming. They announced a Venom movie starring Tom Hardy.
Oh yeah!
And so it's gonna be a darker, more grim Marvel film.
See, I'm
also rated R,
way
similar
more
to
interested in Probably Guardians of the Galaxy and the X-Men. Like those
are awesome.
Like superheroes are so much more interesting to me than the Avengers. I could give two shits about the Avengers. Like I'm tired of Captain America.
I think Captain America's so overrated.
I
said it. I said
it.
I will.
Captain America's overrated.
Okay, I'm gonna come right out and say it.
Yeah.
Avengers is my favorite Marvel movie. And Captain America is my favorite Marvel superhero.
Oh,
I mean,
interesting.
Is it?
Give me some credit. I mean,
no,
I'm,
now
I feel kind
of
bad
for
what I just said.
Captain America,
I guess.
He was Hydra the whole time, Captain America.
Okay.
Is definitely my favorite Marvel superhero.
All right, Shay.
Also because
Chris
Evans
saying he's
is
bad.
The hottest person in Avengers.
Chris Evans pretty attractive.
The sole reason
he is.
For that.
I will go see Thor coming up. The
Thor
Ragnarok.
Yeah,
that was
good. Did
that
you guys see who the director is? Taika Waititi?
I don't
know. He's... Yeah,
is
Taika Waititi.
Who's that?
That's right. It's
he did What We Do
for
in the Shadows.
For a second, I was thinking it was Richard.
Oh, yeah.
And,
A Boy, which I never finished watching, but it's really good.
Yeah. And then he did another one.
The only reason why...
A Hunt for the Older People.
The only reason why I'm going to see that is there was this animated movie called Planet Hulk, and Thor was in it.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was in it for a second. And Thor has, like, an equal counterpart that's an alien, and his name is Beta Ray Bill, and he's pretty big in the comics, and he's pretty badass. He's, like, a cooler version of Thor with, like, a weird horse head. Like, this sounds really dumb, but, like, Thor meets Beta Ray Bill on Planet Hulk, and if you've watched Thor Ragnarok, the trailer for it, Thor, like...
Fights him?
Fights Hulk in the trailer.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, that's right, yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, if they bring Beta Ray Bill...
That'd be so
cool. I will fall in love with the Thor movies again. If Beta Ray Bill's in this movie, I will
honestly,
hop on board
100%. I'm more excited for the third Thor than I was for the first
one. Yeah, I watched the first one. I didn't really like it, but I'll watch the
second
third
one
just
than the
because
first.
The director.
I thought the second was better than the first.
That makes sense.
Because Thor is actually
they all,
like, doing
they
Thor
just,
things
yeah.
other than just walking around in a t-shirt and jeans going... I think I'm Thor, and
the first
I
two just sort
can't pick
of
up this
melt.
Hammer because I'm not worthy and all that stuff.
First two just sort of melt together in my mind. I don't really remember which one was which.
Jay, I got to come clean with you, though. I just said it, and you heard me say it.
You hate the Avengers.
I mean, like, I don't like the Avengers.
I'm just over it.
But specific to Captain America, and we're all friends here.
But can we go back to when the first Avengers movie was?
I liked the first one. The first one's really good. It's
I
solid.
Love
it. It was fun. It's fun. But, like, I will say this. I have a good family friend who also loves Captain America, and don't get me wrong.
Do you still speak?
I like America, but aside from liking America and liking superheroes, Captain America, in my opinion, is one of the least interesting superheroes. Just because, like, I mean, his powers are what? Strength and
punching Nazis.
And punching Nazis, and he wears like a suit with an American flag on it.
And he has a super shield.
I own a suit with an American flag on it, and there's someone that's already stronger than Captain America, and that's Hulk and Thor. They're all stronger than him.
But they can't destroy his shield.
I
never seen
not
the
first
one. Thor brought his hammer onto Captain America's shield, and there was like a giant explosion, and
also,
Thor got thrown back, and Iron Man was like,
I found out
some snarky line. As it came
I found out that Black Panther. I know nothing about Black Panther other than this.
That's gonna be a great movie.
Other than this, Black Panther.
I'm gonna be seeing that
like,
movie.
What he protects, or like his people, like mine the certain mineral that Captain America's shield is made out of.
Huh.
So the mineral and stuff that circles
so
around
Captain
the
America's
Black Panther.
Shield's a fucking blood diamond.
It's so, you know, I forgot what it's called,
oh
but it's
God.
Yeah, it's essentially that. But sorry,
that's
I had
so,
to I had
so
to say that about Captain
symbolism.
America.
I'm so excited for Black Panther.
Me too.
If they don't do that movie right, and they don't do like hold the comics to what they are, I'm gonna be so sad. I haven't read any.
Best
of them.
Superhero
so
movie
sad.
Ever.
I mean,
Ant-Man.
Yeah,
sorry,
really
actual
books.
Comic book fans.
But I am excited. I am really excited about Black Panther.
Best superhero movie ever.
It's gonna be a big black movie, and it's gonna be fucking great.
Yeah.
Best superhero movie ever. Ant-Man, fight me.
Just kidding.
I've never seen Ant-Man. I just love
it's
Paul
really
Rudd.
Funny.
I
it's
love Paul Rudd.
It's super funny. I was pleasantly Rudd, surprised yeah, I want to see when Paul I saw it.
I'm waiting for an Ant-Man Wet Hot American Summer collaboration.
Yeah, he should just show up in a suit and be like, "Oh, I just got done with a job. Sorry." And then like
and then call somebody a dyke or something like Paul Rudd would do.
That'd be good.
Anyways.
Cool. Superhero movies.
I didn't realize
superhero
there was so much
movies.
To talk about superhero
yeah,
movies.
Me
yeah. There's a lot. I could go on for a long time.
I guess before we move on to our final segment, what's your favorite, very, very, very favorite superhero movie? I would say mine is The Avengers. Is
the first
Joss Avengers. Whedon, Marvel's The Avengers. That is my favorite superhero movie. But what is your guys's?
My favorite superhero is Batman, and my favorite superhero movie of all time is The Dark Knight.
All right.
And I also love Christopher Nolan, so you got that trifecta of things right there.
Yeah.
And it's flawless to me.
Dark Knight
is
a close second to me, and we need to talk about Christopher Nolan in the future episode.
I don't know my favorite superhero. Probably somebody from X-Men. Like, I feel like Magneto might be my favorite.
Magneto's
badass. Even though he's like a villain sometimes, like, I really just love the, like, dynamics of him.
And young Magneto, Michael Fassbender, is one of the greatest actors of the last 10 years, in my opinion.
He's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
So he's so probably my favorite. But my favorite superhero movie is Guardians of the Galaxy.
Is it?
Yeah.
I saw the movie first once, one, and I laughed. I haven't seen the second one. I don't know if I will.
The colors in it, I think it's just cool. I think it's really cool.
Yeah, again, the
colors. I was just so over the Avenger films, and I was like, I'm over superhero movies, and I watched that one.
Guardians
like,
of the Galaxy is definitely much... I wouldn't say much more, but definitely more, takes itself less seriously than the Avengers does.
Exactly.
And is much, I guess, much snarkier than the Avengers
does.
What are your guys' thoughts? I'm talking to you listeners.
Yeah.
This is getting a little interactive now. I'm sure there, in some way or form, there's a way for you to, like, comment on this, or tweet at us, or do something on Facebook.
By the time this episode comes out, our Facebook will be fully functional, and our Twitter.
Yeah, so let us know what you think about my radical opinions about Captain America and like all of our opinions about anything, really.
Please
let us know what your thoughts
are.
Give us your opinions.
Because just because we watched the movies that we watched doesn't mean that we're right or wrong. It's just our opinion, man.
We're just three people in a room.
But we're probably definitely wrong, and you should let us know why.
Side note, what I think is cool... is that the three of us, like, we have a lot of overlap in the movies that we like to watch, but
I think
there's a lot of individuality when it comes to us three in the movies that we watch, which is important.
We have a lot in common, but we also have a lot of differences.
Yeah, which means that we have, like, a lot to talk about. So if we need to talk about a certain type of movie or certain types of movies, we might or usually will have someone to cover that topic.
Yeah.
Until we start having guests. If you want to be a guest, also, shout out.
Yeah, third episode, I think we should
have
guests.
If you want to be a guest on our show...
Let
go find
know.
Us on Facebook.
Yeah, All Dogs Get Filmed.
Just comment on any post and we'll probably let you come on.
Like,
I like this movie. Let me.
We'll pay you, maybe.
Yeah. We won't pay you. We don't have any money. Sorry.
I can't say this is. Yeah, this is.
But we're going to play the Letterboxd game.
You got Letterboxd!
Woo-woo!
Yeah, this is a new game. We'll play this in the future.
Game.
This is a great idea. I remember talking about this.
Yeah.
So the Letterboxd game, here's how it works. I made a list on Letterboxd. I'm going to
read
the
Can you tell people
name.
What Letterboxd is? Just in
oh,
case
Letterboxd? Sure. Letterboxd.com. That's LETTERBOXD.com is a movie website.
It's an app, too.
It's not an app
for
Android.
iPhone.
I think it's an app for iPhone.
Yeah.
I looked it up on
Android.
Not
Android.
I'm
not
snobby.
Available on Android.
I'm snobby. I have it on my phone.
So Dallin has the Letterboxd app on his iPhone 6.
So if I
want to
cheat,
6.
If I want to cheat, 7. 7. See
iPhone
that? No,
7.
No aux cord.
Wow.
No.
So it's a website for movies where you can make lists. You can make like movie diaries and like just keep track of all the movies that you've been watching.
Super handy.
Yeah.
And yeah, super handy. Also, really fun place to find some really weird lists. There's one that I wanted to read that only had 2 movies on it, but I'll just save that for off the podcast because I made a longer list. And
can I interject real quick?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Just in case you missed anything that Shay just said, anybody who has an account on Letterboxd can go and make a list of a collection of films of whatever they want. They can rank them in the list. They can just throw them all in there. Like if you want to collect films where the poster for the film has red on it and they do like red post, I don't know, weird stuff like that.
There is, hold on.
Let me see if I can find one. And people make some crazy weird lists, and they're
and
super funny sometimes,
lists.
And crazy good lists. So essentially, Shay's gonna has made some lists. Are these all
lists? I made one list for this week.
We are going to guess what films are on the list.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, the list I made this week is titled... Those aren't my lists. These are my lists. It's titled Movies Where the Dogs Lives. So, either the dog lives or all the dogs live.
Ooh. Ooh, and we have to guess.
Can we just go? Can we just start shouting them out?
Yeah, because they're unranked. So just...
First one that I'm going to say is that I remember very, very well is Independence Day. If you've ever seen that, when the city's being blown up when the aliens first invade, there's this like really tense scene where like all this flame and fire is like traveling down this tunnel, and like the Will Smith's wife and kid are like in this tunnel, and they like run to this side room to get like run for cover. And they, like, specifically call out to their dog, and it's this cute, like, retriever, and it, like, comes running, and it barely makes it into the door and gets saved by the fire. So I'm going to say Independence Day.
And I think, oh, God, my list isn't coming up.
Technical difficulties.
I think that is on my list.
I mean, if you want.
So you get a point.
If you want, you can look it up on here.
Oh.
You can search your list on here and pull it up if it'll show up. But
I can't think of a movie where a dog lives. Really? I just keep thinking of movies where all dogs die.
I can think of a movie where a dog dies a million times.
Yeah. Well, I know there's a really cute dog in Marie Antoinette, since we talked about that movie, and that dog lives till the end. I'm pretty sure. She doesn't cut its head off or anything.
So, I mean, probably true. Although
she has a really cute King Charles dog.
I didn't put it on my list, and the French Revolution probably killed Marie Antoinette's dogs after they killed
them. They might have, but it didn't happen in the movie, so
I'm going to count that as a win. Independence Day, sorry, wasn't on the list. Good guess, though.
Oh, man.
So that's...
What other movies have dogs in them?
There are movies that are about dogs.
Just like, that, what about that movie Max? It had Modern a dog movies? In it. Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know if he dies, though. I didn't watch that one. It was like that war movie.
I know a great dog movie where both dogs live. The Goofy movie.
That's on here.
Is this?
Yay!
Hey! Yes, that's on the list. Heck yeah!
The Goofy movie is on the list.
Can you guess the sequel?
By the way, there are 16
movies. You get a point, too, if you guess the sequel.
There are 16
movies. Goofy movie, too.
Okay. Wait, seriously? You don't know the name of the Goofy movie sequel?
No.
Oh, wow.
What is it?
It's an extremely goofy movie.
Oh, yeah.
You saw an extremely goofy movie?
That's right.
So they got one
Goofy movie Homecoming.
Any other guesses for this list?
Wow. I don't know why it's so hard to think of. Are they movies specifically about dogs?
There are a couple of them, yeah.
Oh, man. I was going to say The Lobster, but...
The dog.
The dog definitely dies.
Yeah.
It's his brother. His brother is the dog.
Hashtag no spoilers.
Hashtag no spoilers.
That's a great movie.
I hate to see that movie.
Other dog movies.
I just can't think of movies right now that I'm only
thinking of movies where dogs die. And one of those movies is The Thing. Like John Carpenter's The Thing.
Oh, yeah. The dog. That's the worst dog death. It's
brutally transformed into The Thing.
It's the worst dog death.
Oh, it's awful.
That's also one of
I mean, there's also, movies. There's a movie I saw a couple weeks ago where a dog just straight up gets hanged before everybody else in the movie gets killed. But yeah.
I can also think of a dog dying in I'm Legend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sad.
Yep.
Okay, but movies where the dog doesn't die. Any other guesses?
Up.
Yes, that's on this list.
2 points.
Dogs at 2 points.
Hey! I haven't even seen it.
How about Secret Life of Pets? None of the dogs.
Good guess,
the but dog on this die. List.
You could have gotten so many points for all the dogs that live in that movie, but.
That's true.
Sad times. What are some.
Movies where the dog doesn't die?
Yeah, I'm trying to look at movies that I've seen lately.
Try to think of any movie with the dog.
Well, no.
You're just thinking movies where the dogs die.
Any movie with a dog in it? Besides
that's
the
what
dog's
you remember.
Try to think about any movie that is about a dog. Because, like, those are the ones.
There was a recent A24 film that came out called It Comes at Night.
Yeah, that dog doesn't die.
Oh, really?
It's a very protective, nice dog.
Oh, yeah.
I still need to see that. It's playing at the room right now.
They're so good.
Oh, God.
In Alien 3, the dog definitely dies by the alien, via alien.
Via alien.
This is so hard.
Oh, this is extremely difficult. I have to look at a list of movies that I've seen recently to see if any of these are on there.
What is the premise of all dogs go to heaven?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the dogs are granted eternal life on that one. So, I mean, valid guess technically.
Jeez, this is hard on Shay.
Can you give us?
You guys are throwing the towel at 2-0, or
hold on? Yeah, I wanna, I'm not hold gonna on. Get any. Hold on. I'm doing one more quick little scan.
Okay.
Of some of these movies that I've seen, and so far I'm not seeing anything really. Oh, does it die in that movie? Is there
just
a,
guess.
Is there? It might be injured. No Country for Old Men. There's a dog in that movie at some point, but I don't remember what it's there for.
Me neither. I don't think it dies though. But I did not put that movie on my list.
Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna just have to throw in the towel with a.
Okay.
The two.
I mean, you guys had some pretty good guesses, but I'm really stunned that you missed Air Bud.
Oh,
right there.
Crap. There's right so there. Many of those. Can I? Can I? What about the sequels?
Air
like
Bud 2,
Air Buddies,
Air Buddies,
Space Buddies,
Air Bud 2, Space Buddies, Soccer Buddies. Also Beethoven.
Oh,
you guys didn't think about Beethoven. Let's
yeah,
see.
Blatant, huge, blatant, obvious dog.
That's why you
can
yep. say
oh,
that.
What, wait, hold on. I want to go for one more. What's it called? That movie where the dog and the cat are friends and they go on like a little adventure.
Oh.
What's that movie called?
What is that movie called?
Milo and Otis?
Home.
I mean, that's one
no,
of them.
Not
it's,
Home.
Homeward Bound?
Homeward
yes.
Bound.
Yeah. That's on my list.
Hey. That's three for me.
I guess, yeah, that's 3 points for Dallin.
Heck yeah.
But the other movies on this list were, did you guys ever see Bolt?
Yeah,
I like that one. Yeah. That one a lot. The Wizard of Oz. Toto does not die.
Toto doesn't die.
Christmas Story. The dogs steal the family duck, and they don't die.
The Bumpus Hounds. Wow, these are obvious.
Let's see.
I don't know why I miss these.
Eraserhead. Dog gives birth to litters of puppies who slap
yeah.
on their teats loudly,
yeah,
and they
yeah,
don't
yeah,
die.
Yeah. Oh, that is such a weird part of the movie.
Okay, you just said that's such a weird part of Eraserhead, which is the most hilarious non sequitur that has been uttered on the show to date.
Eraserhead is so good.
It's such a great,
such a great,
such film. A classic.
David Lynch will come up in an episode.
Also, let's see, I have on this list. Did you guys ever see A Goodbye to Language 3D? It's,
no.
What's his name's? I can't even think of his. Jean-Luc Godard's latest movie.
Yeah. Oh,
I haven't
where
seen it yet.
That is composed of completely. Disconnected scenes, all shot in like stereoscopic 3D, and there's a dog just in there. Doesn't die. it's actually Jean-Luc Godard's dog just walking around the lake. Hal's Moving Castle. Hal turns into a dog and then proceeds to not die. More along the lines of what Dallin was thinking, Volcano. Did you ever see Volcano?
Mm-mm.
There is a scene just like that one in Volcano where there is a flow of lava coming after a Jack Russell Terrier. And that Jack Russell Terrier leaps out of the way just in time.
How cute.
A brave little dog. Also on my list, Men in Black.
Oh, yeah.
So remember the pug in Men in Black?
Oh, yeah.
It's in all three of them.
Mm-hmm.
Magnolia. Tom Cruise almost kicks the dogs, but they do not die. Cowboy Bebop, the movie.
Mm,
I spelled that because I love Cowboy Bebop and also the dog in Cowboy Bebop. And Triplets of Belleville.
Hey, yeah.
That is my, I think my favorite movie dog is the dog in Triplets of Belleville.
That's a good one.
That's, I love that,
that
movie.
That was fun.
And the dog so much.
That was fun. Thanks.
So yeah, that's the Letterboxd game.
We'll definitely play that again.
We played it.
Can we play it again real quick?
Just really, a really quick one?
Yeah.
Okay, the list you found?
Well, you can cut it out later.
Sure.
This doesn't fit. Okay. Sure. So this one was on like the top Letterboxd thing, and I think it's just really funny. And there's only four movies on it. Okay. And it is movies where Michael Keaton is some kind of a bird/mammal wearing a suit.
I'm
what
gonna
are
guess,
the four?
I'm gonna
I,
guess
just, well, I just saw that.
Batman.
Too. Birdman.
Yeah.
Birdman.
Uh-huh.
Batman Returns.
Yep.
And Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yep, you got all four.
Hey!
Ding, 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 ding. That's the letter.
Wait, Michael Keaton wasn't... Oh, my God.
So Michael Keaton's been in the DC Universe, technically, and the Marvel Universe.
Yeah. Okay, hashtag
and
no spoilers.
The, and the In Your Own 2.
Does he play in...
What is
Marvel,
what is that
is
guy's name? Him?
He's like he's the bad guy. He's Vulture.
Vulture.
He is the Vulture.
Okay.
Which hashtag no spoilers. Low-key, love Michael Keaton at the end of this film.
Yeah,
that's all
time.
I'm gonna say.
That's a good time.
That's all. Technically, the first of the two after credit scenes. Because there was two.
All right.
I think I missed the last credit scene.
I missed the last one.
Okay.
Anyways, that was fun. Hey, that was a good time.
Fun game, wasn't it?
Cool. Yeah, we don't know.
Big,
yeah.
Yeah. I guess.
Yeah.
What do we say to wrap
this
up? We're
going to talk about what we're going to. No, we're just going to talk about what we're going to talk about next week.
Oh, yeah. What are we talking about next week?
Are we gonna
after.
Do that?
I mean,
after this.
Yeah.
So we look. Hope. I mean, you won't know what it is until it comes
yeah.
out. But again, like we said before, comment. Wow. I can't even talk. Probably because I've been talking for too long. Comment or, you know, tweet at us or whatever as much as you can or want to. Get in contact with us if you have people that you would like to have on here.
Or if you want to come on
here. Easily available. People that, if you want to come on, I mean, we're not opposed to filling this, you know, putting six or seven people around this mic.
We sure aren't.
As long as you take turns and you're respectful, we'll let you on the podcast.
So, yeah. So, get at us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Find us on Facebook. Are we going to make a Twitter?
Yeah.
We're going to make a Twitter at some point.
I don't even have a Twitter, but...
We'll make somebody run
it. Subscribe to us. Not me. SoundCloud, iTunes, rate and review us on iTunes. I guess that helps our stats or whatever.
Yeah, that's like a thing you can do.
Make us famous. We can only get famous if you make us that.
Yeah.
Until next time.
We don't have like a catchphrase.
We don't have a catchphrase, no.
Maybe help us come up with a catchphrase.
I was thinking our catchphrase could be something like, study up, pups.
That's cute.
Study up, pups.
So until the next episode, watch some films and...
Study up, pups.
Alicia!
How did you guys do it?
We're not going to say it again.
Okay.
We're not going to say it.
All Films Go to Dog School was recorded by Alicia Grafe, Dallin Kroon, and Shay Primrose. The audio was edited by Shay, and the music was done by Magic Hero. You can hear some more Magic Hero by going on over to magicheromusic.bandcamp.com. Make sure you rate and review us on iTunes, where you can subscribe to us. You can also subscribe to us on SoundCloud, and Stitcher, and Player FM. And all the other places where you can get the podcasts. So keep on listening and keep on having a good life.